look at them and sit around and do nothing about it. We have to clean up their mess, and that's a subject for the political net that begins at 12:07 tonight.
Amen, WTTTT.
Yes, Mark.
Very funny. I forgot the woman's name, but she worked at the lab in China that developed this disease. And this woman is going forward to have the breakthrough with the vaccines, and she's going to get paid very well for this. So this is what the United States should do for what China did, the communists. I think what they should do is burn the lab down and make sure nothing could grow out of it again. My personal opinion, I don't mean any harm to anybody. Over to you, Roy.
Well, Mark, you know, this is a country where they built, it wasn't a terribly good hospital, but they built a hospital in something like 10 days. So if you burn down their infectious disease lab, they'll probably build another one in 7 days. I don't know. There's a lot of rumors and stories that have gone around, and one of the variations on the theme is that there was a coronavirus viral infection laboratory a few blocks away from the wet market that everyone thinks is the cause of it. And one of the people was an intern working over the summer or something, and she was up on the web pages there, and they think that she took some of it without her knowing in an accident to the wet market and caused the outbreak there, and then her entire record was wiped, so you can't find it anyplace. So the variation on the rumor is not that she's now inventing the vaccine to make China a trillionaire, but that she was victim one that they've kind of made disappear. But there's no real proof. It's just that if you go to the old website, there's an intern listed in a biological lab, and if you look at the present webpage, she's been removed. Could have been for anything. So whatever is causing it, hopefully people will get to the bottom of it. I tend to believe that most things happen due to incompetence and stupidity than to a brilliant evil plan. But, you know, we'll see.
And Alex Jones goes into this in more depth if somebody wants to listen to one of his podcasts.
Well, Alex Jones has a lot of interesting theories and not so interesting theories, and again, it's a free country, and I believe he's also selling toothpaste that can cure COVID-19. So you take it from where you get it.
KC2BCC with a comment, question.
Yes, Kathleen.
So what? I understand the story about the intern or whatever bringing it to the wet market, which I believe has been a bit questionable. Things and didn't let American people go there to research things is really a big question to me.
And I think it's a big question to just about everyone in the world, with the exception of members of the Chinese Communist Party. So we're all in agreement. What I would like to caution people, though, is if you just want to blame them and then sit there and not do anything about it, that's probably not an effective way of handling it. You know, you go back into the records, and if they're the major cause for this, we'll have to arrange some kind of penalty for them. But we have to keep our eye on the prize of us not dying and the economy not dying with us.
BC2IS comment?
Yes, Bill.
I'm wondering, I mean, if you follow the right websites, these accusations have been out there for a long time, and, you know, at any point, during, you know, February, March, whatever, you could have said, hey, the Chinese should have told us these things earlier, that, you know, we were not completely informed and so forth. You know, but, you know, personally, as of pretty much, I'd say, March 1st, like, all the critical information was really knowable by anyone. So there have been anti-China websites that have been sort of blowing their horn on this. There have been conspiracy theories surrounding, you know, lab-created viruses, you know, for virtually every virus outbreak. What is it that's changed just recently to fan the flames of this? I don't know. Fan the flames of conspiracy theories. What has changed recently to make this the top talking point? ACQIS.
Well, Bill, I wouldn't say it's a top talking point among everyone. It's a top talking point among some people. I think we all have this unfortunate problem. We don't like random chaos. It really annoys us that things just sort of happen. We prefer things to be in orderly fashion, even if it means an evil genius doing it. We would prefer an evil genius than just kind of random, chaotic aspect of the universe that every so often just goes off and does something terrible to us. So there's a lot of paranoid thoughts and schemes of all kinds of stories. There's people living in the middle of the earth. Some people say it's a flat earth. Some people are talking about Planet X, which is on the other side of the solar system. And you know, I think the thing that brings this into the conversation is the fact that the virus is number one in the conversation. So it drags along the paranoid stories of how the Chinese are trying to destroy the world with nuclear weapons. Again, I tend to think that people end up doing most of their damage out of stupidity and incompetence. So I don't think that the Chinese Communist Party had a great plan to kill off all of us. I think that they have an unfortunately long history of eating wild animals that are the reservoir of all kinds of nasty viruses that will occasionally mutate, and when you eat them, they jump from them to us and the world. So that's what my two cents worth. There are paranoid conspiracy theories about almost everything that you can imagine.
Question, how can it mutate, or whatever, what's the trail that it would mutate from the animal to the person? And so my question would be, how does it correlate to being in food? Like if somebody has it and then they're breathing on the food, whether it's before it's cooked, after it's cooked.
Okay, for the most part, the viruses don't really do well outside of living organisms. They seek most of their shelter in and use the cells to reproduce. So the most effective transmission is from either live to live or dead 3 minutes ago to live, but probably not packaged for a day or two to live. So although there is a non-zero chance of getting the infection by eating food that was exposed to the virus, it is not as great as person-to-person contact infection rates. There's not that much data, unfortunately, to back either case, and most people are erring on the side of caution and telling people to be very suspicious of takeout food. Which is, I guess is reasonable, although, again, most of the infectious process is going to be person-to-person or person-to-contact-to-person, not through food. But you want to cover all your bases, and you want to wear suspenders and a belt and a couple of staples.
AC2OIS.
Yes, Mark.
I'm not really here to take a survey, but I was just wondering if how many people would be supporting the Constitution at this point.
I would hope that the overwhelming majority of Americans would support the Constitution of the United States. I have sometimes heard where they take polls and they don't cite small sentences and recite bits of the Constitution and find an unfortunate number of people who don't agree with it. But that's when they don't identify it as being part of the Constitution of the United States. So I don't know exactly if we could do a scientific poll here or anywhere, but I would hope in my heart of hearts that people listen to the nature of their better angels and respect and honor the Constitution that has kept us around for these decades, centuries.
No, just wondering how people would cherish their rights, their freedom. Freedom is a tough one, they always say, like in New York, people can't handle freedom.
Well, Mark, I really don't want to veer into the political net. Like I always say, it starts at 1207. This is not something new. Unfortunately, there's an old saying that if you don't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it. And in the great influenza pandemic of the 1917 to 1920s, there were the same arguments. With the typhoid epidemic, there were the same arguments of public health versus private freedom. Most courts found a kind of gray zone compromise between the two of them. Absolutes probably are not terribly good things. So you have to find some compromise in the middle. Not so much as to enslave people and not so much to threaten the life of innocent people. So it's not a simple question, and it doesn't lead to a simple answer. Okay, unfortunately, that was about 98% noise. So if there's a way that if you're on a handy talkie, if you could move it around to a different location or get a little elevation, or if you're on a base station and there's a little bit more power that you can wind up, please try again.
Kilo Delta 2, Lima Alpha Victor.
Yes, Scott.
That's what started a lot of the topic, though, about the conspiracy theories, is I think what a lot of people are having problems digesting is with a disease that originated in China, and they're only reporting like 700 deaths. There is already at almost 1,000 deaths. With a third world country and a third rate healthcare system, a lot of people just don't even see that as possible.
And also, if you've been reading in the news, they recently upgraded their number of deaths by, I believe, 50%. I have problems with their numbers as well. I think they are modifying them for political reasons. Way back, I've been kind of talking about this since the new year almost, and there were some countries I believe completely. I believe the numbers issued from Korea when Iran first popped up with this, I didn't believe any of the numbers they were giving, because they made absolutely no sense. And ultimately, I think I agree with you that the numbers will end up being significantly greater in China at some point historically. 2020 hindsight is always 2020. Countries will do kind of stupid things for the sake of their pride. So again, I tend to not think that this is a something that they came up with as a scheme to have the rest of the world kill itself, but just to save face. The Chinese, unfortunately, for good or bad, are very sensitive about face. And if they can lie, cheat, and steal and save face, unfortunately, they tend to. At least that's the Chinese Communist Party. You know, anything that anyone talks about the Chinese, I think they have to kind of identify that they're primarily talking about a totalitarian, authoritative, a communist government, and not necessarily the citizens, which number in the billions.
Question?
Yes, what's your question?
So, with the change in the figures that China put out, which I agree with you must be much higher than what they're saying, I think they're full of baloney. But I wonder, it's confusing to me as to why we here in the United States would start adjusting our numbers to make it that everybody who dies during this is of COVID-19, when if somebody had a pre-existing condition or a comorbidity, I thought the way you rated it, you know, probably from a heart attack, but he also had this, but the heart attack was caused by this. Maybe you can clarify how death certificates are made.
Well, yes, Kathleen. Actually, it was covered on an earlier story that I did. It was due primarily to the CDC's recommendation of including possible cases along with definitive cases. Usually, death certificates have one place to put the cause of death. Sometimes they will also have an entry due to complications from something else. And you can either put the coronavirus in the first the category or the second. One of the weirdest things that I discovered as a medical student on one of the first times that a patient had passed away was that for some strange reason, the state of New York only allows a certain list of causes of dying, and others are not allowed as a cause for death. If you have a patient who had pneumonia, and they had something else going on, but they had pneumonia and they died, chances are you don't write down cause of death pneumonia. You write down the primary illness that made the person weak enough to die of pneumonia and put the pneumonia as a secondary cause. And it's bureaucratic, paper-pushing type of nonsense that, again, I don't think is due to any conspiracy. It's just a bunch of bureaucrats doing what bureaucrats do so well.
Yeah, Roy, a statement about death certificates.
Yeah, sure. What do you got to say about death certificates?
My brother had passed away a couple of years ago. He has aggressive leukemia. And they put down the cause of death smoking, you know, and he wasn't a smoker.
Okay, in addition to bureaucratic nonsense, again, people make mistakes. And I don't know exactly what was the reason for that mismatch. You know, it could have been just someone confused about something. I don't know. There's a bunch of reasons. Human beings are unfortunately not perfect. It would be really nice. It would be boring, but I like boring, if they were. They're not. We're not. We make mistakes. We do stupid things. We try and correct it. We try and learn from our mistakes. We try not to repeat them endlessly, although some people apparently love to repeat them endlessly and see if it changes. So I can understand why you'd be very miffed by that completely absurd death certificate.
Yeah, besides having to pay for it also.
So, okay, yeah, that too. Any other questions or comments on any of the subjects that I've covered before I move on to the next one?
Yeah, one more comment.
Okay.
Okay, so we have the New World Order, we have Agenda 21, Bill Gates being one of these elitists. Wanting to reduce the population to 500 million people on Earth, according to the Georgia Guidestones. Like you find it about him anyway, him and his father. They want to reduce the population. This is a great way to reduce the population.
Well, again, Mark, the political philosophy, Ned, is 1207. That goes back, that type of concept, to Malthus, Malthusian theories about the amount of material that sustains life. If not for the agricultural green revolution in the 1970s, a lot of people would be starving to death. Because we have increased the nutritional productivity of this world incredibly. So, you know, back in the old days, there was this belief that people were going to populate themselves into famine and pestilence and disease. I think that Bill Gates is an interesting character. I think he's he was a very good businessman. He was not exactly a nice businessman. He pulled a lot of strange little tricks, which we could get into for the business net. But, you know, he sold Emistos, which he didn't own, and all kinds of fun stuff. And he made billions and billions of dollars. I do not think he wants to rule the world. I don't think he wants to kill a lot of people. I think he has decided that he made enough billions of dollars, and he retired from Microsoft. And I think legitimately he wants to leave a legacy for his family and history of trying to do good things. So I tend to give him the benefit of the doubt. He's probably not the most charming, friendliest guy in the world, although I've never met him. But I can't project any real evil genius ideas on him. And you're free to do exactly that if you're so inclined. Okay, any other questions, comments, statements before I move on to another very interesting story, which hopefully people will be interested in? Okay, this one's a little bit on the long side, but strap in. I think it will be of use to some people. As the coronavirus pandemic spreads at unprecedented rates, invading the lungs of people of all ages, ethnicities, and medical histories, companies are ratcheting up their efforts to fight the disease with accelerated schedules for creating new vaccines and beginning clinical trials for potential treatments. Recently, Novavax, a Maryland-based biotech company, said it would begin human trials in Australia in mid-May for its vaccine candidate. Novavax is one of more than two dozen companies that have announced promising vaccine programs that are speeding through the early stages of testing, unlike before. Also recently, the stem cell company Mesoblast said it was starting a 240-patient clinical trial supported by the National Institute of Health that would test whether cells derived from bone marrow could help patients who developed a deadly immune reaction to coronavirus. In normal circumstances, the development of new vaccines and treatments would take years, but the pharmaceutical industry is racing to compress this timeline with the support of nonprofit organizations, government agencies, and regulatory authorities. Novavax said that its vaccine candidate had stimulated a powerful immune response in lab and animal experiments, producing antibodies that could fight off the coronavirus. While a final product that would be widely available is still a year or more away, the Novavax effort is one of many that is ready to be tested in people. A vaccine made by the biotech company Moderna is already in clinical trials. $5 million partnership by a division of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and experimental vaccine developed by researchers at the University of Pittsburgh and Baylor. Quote, we're all trying to do something which we have almost no precedence for, which is accelerating a vaccine in the middle of a pandemic, said Dr. Peter Hotez, who is co-director of Texas Children's Hospital Center for Vaccine Development at Baylor College of Medicine. There is no approved treatment for COVID-19, the illness caused by the coronavirus, and researchers and doctors are testing a host of therapies in a desperate bid to save the lives of people who have few other options. President Trump has aggressively promoted two old malaria drugs, which have shown only limited evidence of working as treatments for the coronavirus. He has pushed the drugs' broader use in patients without the more rigorous clinical trials typically used to evaluate treatments. But Mesoblast is making a more standard approach, testing the cell therapy in 240 patients at more than 20 medical centers around the country, which are part of the Cardiothoracic Surgical Trials Network, a program created by the NIH. Patients will be randomly divided into groups that will receive the therapy and those that will get placebo. Researchers said the trial would yield initial results within months. While many people who are infected with coronavirus experience mild symptoms, others develop a severe case where their immune systems go into overdrive and begin attacking the body's organs. This is called cytokine storm. This can set off something called acute respiratory distress syndrome, which damages the lungs and is often deadly. Several other treatments are also being tried to treat the storm and reset their immune system. Dr. Silvio Itescu, a chief executive at Mesoblast, said that the company decided to test its treatment in these COVID-19 patients because its product had shown good results in children who developed a similar deadly immune reaction called acute graft versus host disease, in which the body's immune cells can attack healthy cells after receiving a bone marrow transplant. Their treatment is currently being reviewed by the Food and Drug Administration for use in that disease. Let me drop for a sec. We put two and two together, he said. We think we've got something that is safe and could be of benefit, Dr. Setchu said. Another stem cell company, Altersys, said it is also planning a study of stem cells in the coronavirus patients with advanced respiratory distress syndrome, but it is not as far along. Nine coronavirus patients at Mount Sinai Hospital in New York have received the Mesoblast treatment on an emergency basis. The doctors there said that the initial response was promising. Six members were removed from ventilators, and others were being weaned off or had remained stable, a welcome development when most patients who need ventilator support do not survive. But Dr. Itescu said that even though the treatment was promising, it was still not clear whether it would work or whether the early promise was merely anecdotal. Although many drugs are being tried outside of a formal study, he said, we do not think this is the right way. A randomized control trial is the only way you are going to know whether an approach works, he said. Pfizer said that it would begin testing an experimental drug as well as its rheumatoid arthritis treatment, Xelinges, in clinical trials against COVID-19. Xelinges also is known as tofactinib, an anti-inflammatory medicine, and could dampen the immune system in patients with severe respiratory syndrome. But the company warned that research was still in its early stages and that Xelinges should not currently be used in patients with serious infection. Let me drop for a sec. Still, a vaccine would be the best way to stop further spread of the coronavirus because it enhances the immune system's natural defenses. Of course, many companies are also struggling with ways to partner with manufacturing ventures to produce enough vaccines so that it will be widely available. More than 1 million people around the world have already been sickened by the coronavirus. For public health experts and those on the front lines, a vaccine can't come soon enough. Quote, if you could only have a vaccine, just imagine you could walk out of your door confident that you were not going to get sick, said Gregory Glenn, the president for research and development at Novavax. Because of that, everyone is very motivated and working to move things quickly. Novavax has worked on experimental vaccines for both SARS and MERS, which are closely related to the new coronavirus. The company also has medicines for seasonal flu and respiratory syncytial virus, which causes colds in the late last stages of clinical trials. When Chinese scientists posed the genetic sequence of the new coronavirus in January, researchers at Novavax started working on recombinant technologies to make a synthetic version of the virus. Researchers used baculovirus to carry bits of genetic material from the coronavirus into cells. Baculoviruses typically infect insects, so they cannot replicate and cause illness in human beings. Quote, we never use the real virus, Dr. Glenn said, but we can fool the immune system to think it's been hijacked. By combining the recombinant vaccine with an adjuvant or substance that increases immune stimulation, Novavax was able to achieve a high neutralization titer in preclinical tests, a measure of the protective antibodies that can block the virus. The company hopes to see a similar effect after giving more than 130 healthy adults two doses of the vaccine. Results of the trial, which will be conducted in Australia, are expected around July. Moderna and Inovio are pioneering a completely different approach. Moderna uses RNA technology, while Inovio has developed DNA technology to package the genetic code of the coronavirus spike proteins, which make up the crown around the virus and help it latch onto the cells. This approach has the advantage of being able to move to trials faster than vaccines that require the production of viral proteins or a weakened version of the actual virus to induce an immune response. But the technology is still unproven. There are no approved RNA or DNA vaccines for any known disease. Let me drop for a sec. Dr. Hotez's team and Johnson & Johnson, on the other hand, are relying on technology that is more similar to Novavax's approach because it has been used successfully to create other vaccines in the past, including one for Ebola that has been registered in Europe and is used in the recent epidemic in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Some countries already have the manufacturing capabilities that will be needed to scale up the vaccine production and will keep costs low if everything goes well. Quote, it's not very sexy, but it's a reliable approach, Dr. Hodes said. We know that it works. For now, the first stage of clinical trials for each potential coronavirus vaccine must focus on how safe or toxic the vaccine may be at different dose levels. Researchers will collect the medical histories of volunteers participating in the trials and track their antibody levels, their liver enzymes, and other indicators of emerging side effects. One concern is that vaccines may inadvertently cause a phenomenon known as disease enhancement, in which the vaccinated people develop more severe inflammatory disease than those who have never been vaccinated. Studies of early SARS or MERS vaccines noted this troublesome complication in some animal models. If everything looks good and the vaccine appears to be safe, then we'll go on to trials with much bigger numbers and look at the vaccine efficacy, said Dr. John Urban, who is leading the Inovio clinical trials in Kansas City, Missouri. In parallel, companies are planning to continue further animal testing as well as investing in manufacturing capacity both in the United States and abroad. They need millions of dosages for a clinical additional clinical trial, and even more if a vaccine eventually goes to market. Companies also have to be prepared for the possibility that vaccine will decrease by the time one is ready for widespread use. But industry experts are not waiting for this to happen. Quote, the virus is racing through crowded urban areas and slums in certain countries, Dr. Hotez said. How do you do social distancing in those places? You don't. We are building out a roadmap for how we work as a country for the next 2 or 3 years, he continued. That's roughly the time frame that we saw for the 1918 flu pandemic, and that's probably likely for COVID-19. Let me drop for any questions or comments. This is AC2GS. Say again. Okay, anyone with any questions or comments on that? That was a big one, but I hope it informed a lot of you of what's going on. It's not like everyone's twiddling their thumbs or pointing at everyone else. There's a lot of hard work going on, and hopefully it will be effective and help us get out of this mess.
I have a question. KC2DCT. If the trials are going on, which is good. And the reason for hydrocortisone, or the against hydrocortisone, is because it was not tested. But it's been around for so many, 40 years plus, and people take it for that long of a period of time. And the dosage for this is much smaller. My question is, with those trials on those other things, vaccines and other medications, so people who aren't sick are going to get placebos, so they might die because they're in the program?
Kathleen, unfortunately, that's the way medical science works. If you give everyone the treatment, you have no way of discerning whether the treatment is having the effect or whether randomness is having an effect. And it's not hydrocortisone, it's hydroxychloroquine, which is a different molecule. And unfortunately, it's given with zithromycin in the case of these treatments, which increases its side effect profile. They did a research study in Brazil recently that was cut short because the test people were dying of complications of the Zithromax and the hydroxychloroquine. It will provoke heart arrhythmias and can lead to heart attacks. So it's not a benign drug, and unfortunately it sounds maybe ghoulish to you, but that's what medical science works on. If you don't have test cases where it isn't the drug that you can compare it to, you get little more than anecdotal evidence. And anecdotal evidence is what gets us to bloodletting and wearing copper bracelets and magnets for arthritis. So I don't know what to tell you. It sounds heartless, I understand, but there's a very good reason behind it.
Well, I have to say that it does sound heartless, and I understand the concept, but the way that everybody's tearing up the concept of the hydrocortisone, however you say it, it doesn't matter, and the zithromycin and the zinc, I get it. But the point is that when there was no disease didn't exist before, and people were being saved from going on ventilators, which was the big deal, that's the problem to me. How everybody spins it all around, that's the problem.
Okay, Kathleen, I kind of feel your anger and your displeasure at the whole thing. The thing that I keep on trying to present is we have to be evidence-based. We have to do this intelligently. We can't simply take something that someone sort of thinks kind of helped maybe with bad experiments and give it to everyone, and the people who die of the heart rhythm disturbances and heart attacks, we just shrug our shoulders. That's a move of desperation, and I understand the reason for desperation. But in the real world, the idea, the Hippocratic Oath is do no harm. And giving people unproven, untested medication for something completely different that does have side effects is doing harm. They are doing studies. They are going to look into it. So far, nothing really definitive. I have looked at pretty much all of the published studies, and they are deeply flawed and problematic. But, you know, maybe something will turn up. Who knows? But to just kind of say, what do we got to lose, and throw magic trinkets at everyone, I think is not really a good plan.
Well, it's a matter of life or death. You don't have anything to lose. And that's the problem. There was no treatment for something that didn't exist 2 months ago. Really, now. Come on.
NY2H.
Yes, Lou recognized. I just want to close this little window with saying you have things to lose. A couple in Arizona decided they were going to self-medicate themselves. The husband passed away due to his self-medication. The wife was in an intensive care unit. You can take too much water and kill yourself. Nothing is completely safe. So you have to always balance the benefits versus the risks. So, Lou, what do you have to say?
I was going to comment on the temporal management of a patient. At one point, let's say this treatment suppresses immunity, so it stops that reaction that damages your lungs. Well, you probably don't want to use the treatment at the beginning where you need some immunity. So depending on the timeline, the effect would even vary. So that's just another reason why you just can't throw darts against a wall.
Comment regarding the guy who took the fish tank medicine rather than the real hydrocortisone?
Okay, we'll get to you, Kathleen. I promise you we'll get to you. That's another problem. In a lot of these studies that vaguely suggested if you throw out some numbers that would totally ruin it for the study, suggesting good things for this, is that the cases that they saw some possibility were not very mild or very severe cases, but something that they tended to call moderate cases of the virus. So there's a lot of questions, there's not a lot of answers, and I'll turn it over to Kathleen, and she can tell us that you shouldn't take fish medicine. I think most people hopefully know that, but it's a good thing to repeat.
Yes, it is a smart thing to not self-medicate. Most people don't take things like that on their own. So you can't think stupid in that incident, because I don't know why anybody would take fish tank medication. And it's important that the rest of the people listening to the stories and reading the stories in the newspaper know that the guy self-medicated taking fish tank medicine, not the real hydrocortisone and the way it's supposed to be taken, because that's where it gets to be, you know the word, blank news. You know, that's not right. I like to listen to you, but when you tell a story like that, you have to tell the whole story. The guy took fish tank medicine on his own.
I have told this story many times in minute detail. I always say he self-medicated. He didn't get it from anyone. And I often mention that it was aquarium medicine and such. And people will do foolish things, especially when they're driven to panic. But that doesn't really negate the fact that this medicine, especially with zithromycin, becomes more problematic and more toxic. And again, I give you an example, the Brazilian study that had to be canceled prematurely. This was done by physicians under medical care with follow-up, and they found too many people were suffering from complications to continue the study, and they basically stopped it short. So it's not only fish medicine, it's other cases. Hydroxychloroquine is very good. It's decent as an anti-malarial. It's great for lupus. A lot of people are taking it every day for lupus, and unfortunately they've been finding that the supply is drying up because of these ancillary hopes. Important medication, but it does affect the pacemaker rhythm in people's hearts in some people, and as I said, it is not totally innocuous. There is no such thing as a totally innocuous substance. Water alone, if I give any person, the healthiest person in the world, too much water, I can induce them to go into kidney failure and even die.
KC2OIS.
Yes, Mark.
Okay, you guys are talking about antibiotics for fish. I think that the medicine is pretty similar to humans. Antibiotic.
Well, Mark, there's a bunch of little problems. When you manufacture drugs for human beings, the Food and Drug Administration wants you to prove a whole bunch of things. You have to prove that it was done in the proper manner and that it didn't expire. When you're buying stuff for your goldfish, the government doesn't care quite as much. And so you could get kind of questionable supplies from questionable suppliers. It might have sat in a warehouse for 20 years. It might possibly not even be the product that you thought it was. And again, you're not going to get the Food and Drug Administration involved in it because they don't deal with pet food.
with pet drugs, as far as I know. They probably do in special cases. But anyway, chemically, they can be identical, but there's a whole bunch of reasons why you shouldn't be downing fish medicine.
Got that, but I have a suggestion for anybody that's may not be feeling well or whatever. Here's what I take in the morning. I take vitamin D3, 2,000 units. I take Koldis zinc tablets, chewable. And NAC is another thing you can take. It's good for your lungs and your immune system.
Okay, Mark, if you want to recommend nutritional supplements, with most water-based nutritional supplements, you can't get into too much trouble. I suggest people end up having very expensive urine. You don't want to overdose too much on oil-based. Those would be vitamin D's and vitamin E's, because they can deposit in your fatty deposits and cause all kinds of unfortunate toxicity. Vitamin C was pushed beyond belief by Professor Dr. Linus Pauling, Nobel Prize winner in chemistry. Brilliant man, charming man, wrong man. Vitamin C in those dosages tended to give people loose bowel movements, so we politely call it that way, and also kidney stones, which can be terribly, terribly painful. Take it under advisement. Mark suggests that you take these food supplements. I don't make any medical recommendations on this. I am not your private patient. I have not examined you. I have not taken a history. But you're free to either go along or not go along with any one suggestion out there.
NCJQB.
Yes.
Oh, just a quick comment. There was a doctor, I want to say he might have been on Long Island, but I'm not really sure, but he did some experimentation where he substituted the Z-Pak with the cardiac side effects, and it still...
Can we talk about Pelosi's tits?
It's a reasonable alternative.
Okay, unfortunately, we have someone doing a comedy routine in the background. I don't know exactly what case you were talking about. I am reminded of a interesting piece in the New York Times. A gentleman who I believe was a Lubavitch Hasidim, who was practicing in a Satmar little town, doing telemedicine. He was doing teleconferencing, and he was prescribing a lot of hydroxychloroquine and Zithromax. And I don't know if he experimented beyond that or just gave out these things. The article kind of suggested that he was just giving it out to everyone who sounded like they might possibly have the virus, because I don't think he had any means to actually test anyone for the virus. But if it's a different person, I haven't heard that story.
Yep, it was an MD that was substituting doxycycline instead.
Okay. If someone wants to actually do a controlled study and with legitimate data, the more the merrier. I do not disparage any testing done as long as it's done in a cogent way where you can get useful information from it. A sloppy test, a sloppy experiment gives you sloppy results to interpretation. And that's not what most scientists, doctors, what have you, would like. They would like hard and fast numbers and a good sense of what's going on rather than vague anecdotal things where especially people bring extra people into the test in the middle or take them out in the middle, really mention them on the paper that they publish.
Quick question for you. If you could somehow rule out a placebo effect, what's your opinion on a study that uses historical controls?
Well, I think you're alluding to previous studies. Sometimes researchers will go into previous studies and link them together in order to try and obtain more information. I don't exactly know how it would apply in this particular case. You could draw some vague inferences to SARS or MERS because they are similar, but they're not identical, and we are not quite sure how similar and how not similar they are. But it has been done in the past, and that's a legitimate method of getting more data from older numbers. I don't know how it really correlates with this particular situation, though.
One comment.
Okay, comment away.
I say this, if they want us to be healthy, they should get rid of GMO foods. Make it illegal.
Okay, Mark, and this is a free country, and you are free to have your opinion. You are free to promote your opinion. You are free to help candidates who are running with that opinion and to make laws effectively doing that. I don't think the march of time is going to go along with you. Genetically modified organisms, I think, unfortunately, are here. They're like hammers. They're tools. You can take a hammer and you can build a house. Or you can take a hammer and you could beat your neighbor's skull in. You could do it for good, you could do it for evil. I think there's a lot of good that it's capable of. Does everyone do good? No. I think, again, most likely most of the not so good is done maybe greed, but again, due to stupidity and incompetence. So I would rather have some kind of a law against stupidity and incompetence, but I don't think you could legislate that. Yes, Rich.
Roy, can you explain how viruses are used to come up with vaccines?
Okay, there's a whole bunch of different ways of doing it. The earliest vaccine actually gives vaccines the name. We discussed this a couple of months ago, I think. Smallpox. Smallpox killed a lot of people. And at one point, thankfully, someone figured out that milkmaids who suffer infections called cowpox, which is a related but not identical and not nearly as virulent disease, were spared smallpox. They basically never had smallpox. They had cowpox, which was mild, and they went about their lives. And that was back in the late 1700s. So the bacteria, the virus rather, produces cowpox is called vaccinia. So they vaccinated people with cowpox. And because it was close enough that it produced an immune response without killing anyone, that was the first vaccine. Since then, there have been different types of modalities for vaccines. They either breed a virus that's weak, similar to how cowpox already existed, or they take live vaccines and denature them in some way and neutralize their ability to infect. But they produce a lot of antibodies from just being in your bloodstream when you get vaccinated. So that's the usual method. The newest, greatest idea this week is to code for the DNA or RNA sequences of a virus because you get that information rather quickly and you can run to the lab and get something going. Like I said earlier tonight, unfortunately, there are absolutely no vaccines based on this technology. And yet, this is one of the many technologies that are being used right now to bring a vaccine as quickly as humanly possible. The trouble with vaccines is they don't run on any kind of schedule. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. The average vaccine, it takes approximately anywhere from 10 to 20 years from people realizing we need a vaccine to getting a vaccine. If we're very, very, very lucky, maybe in a year and a half, even by putting down the safety measures. It's a long haul, and we got to be lucky. And like I said, we have dozens of possible candidates, and hopefully one, two, three, or four of them will work out.
I read today where the antibody isn't such a clear cut cure or way to go, that they're having some problems. I'm not quite sure. I can't remember specifically what the problems were that they're having, but they were producing different results with the same antibody or something like that. Do you know about that?
Yeah, Rich. The New York Times had an article on it. Probably other places had similar articles. None of these, you know, the same way that all drugs have side effects and have risks, all tests are not 100% effective. There is no test that I can think of that has a 0% chance of false positives or false negatives. They always have some non-zero percentage. In the case of, and the test for the viral particle that everyone is lining up to do has become more dubious over time once you open the gate to, you know, 10 or 20 different manufacturers of the technology. Each of them have their own plus or minus false positives, false negatives rate. There are some studies that suggest that some of these viral particle tests are wrong 30% of the time. That's a big percentage. Now, recent studies for things, for tests that they've got antibodies on the manufacturer, because they're not all the same and they don't all have the same rate. But the one that we're looking at in the United States tested about 5% in error. So in other words, one out of 20 people will get the wrong response to their serology blood test of whether they have any antibodies or not. So the Times article was suggesting that other versions of this serology viral antibody assay are even more dubious than the one that's being promoted here in the United States.
That's what I did read, but didn't understand until now. Thanks, Roy, W2B.
You're welcome, Rich. Anyone else with any questions on the subject? Well, you're welcome. I hope that I'm able to give you people a better idea. I understand that it's kind of confusing at times. You get told different numbers from different people. Sometimes you get different numbers from the same people. And I hope that I can give you a better sense of what's going on with less surrounding confusion.
Hey, this is Bill Quirk.
Yeah?
Hi, Roy. When you say DNA and RNA therapies, are you talking about actual, like small interfering RNAs, for example, or an actual DNA therapy? We are studying the silver at Einstein, and of course we're using recombinant technologies to make various proteins, and we're using, you know, baculoviral and heck and show systems to make the proteins, but I heard you say baculovirus, and, you know, there was a little bit of confusing information there.
Well, I think the point that the article was trying to make about baculoviruses is that they are not normal human viruses, so you don't have to be too concerned that it can escape the lab and cause more problems than it helps to cure. And, you know, they're throwing everything at it. They're throwing the primate.